Genesis 3:12. And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Only mark the true colors, the essential evil and the real nature of sin. It is depicted in this excuse of Adam. It shows that a man can in no way be brought to an open confession of his sin, but that he will deny his sin or excuse it as long as he can find that there is any hope or any probable ground of excuse left him. For it was not so wonderful that Adam should at first hope that his sin could be covered, and that he should rather accuse God than acknowledge the sin he had committed. The great wonder was that after he was convicted in his own conscience, and after he had heard his sin declared from the mouth of God himself, he should still persist in excusing that sin. For he does not say, "Lord, I have sinned, forgive me the debt of my sin, be merciful unto me." For the very nature of sin is that it will not suffer the mind to flee unto God, but instead compels it to flee from God. But he transfers all the fault from himself to the woman. It is a well-known rule, taught in the schools of legal and civil orators, that when a charge of crime is brought against the defendant, the act should either be denied totally or defended as having been done rightly. Adam here does both. He first of all denies his sin altogether, and asserts that his terror arose not from his sin, but from the voice of the Lord. And then, when so far convinced of his sin in what he has done, he attempts to defend the act as having been done rightly and unavoidably. "If," says he to the Lord, "thou hadst not given me this woman, I should not have eaten the fruit." Thus, he further lays all the blame of what he had done on God himself, and positively accuses him as being, after all, the real cause of his sin. Wherefore, there is no end to a man's sinning when he has once turned aside from the Word. Adam at first sinned by unbelief and disobedience, and now he heaps upon that sin reproaches of God and positive blasphemy, saying in effect, "It was not I who listened to the serpent. It was not I who was captivated by looking on the fruit of that tree. It was not I who stretched forth my hand to pluck the forbidden fruit. The woman whom thou gavest me did all this." In a word, Adam has no desire to acknowledge his sin. On the contrary, he wishes to be considered pure and clean. The portion of the divine record contains a further description of sin and of the real nature of sin. For whenever the promise of the remission of sins or faith in that promise is not immediately at hand, the sinner cannot do otherwise than Adam did. For if God had said, "Adam, thou hast sinned, but I will pardon thy sin," then Adam would have acknowledged his sin with all humility and candor and with the utmost detestation of what he had done. But because the hope of the remission of sin was not present to his mind on account of his having transgressed the commandment of God, he can see nothing, he can feel nothing but death, the certain punishment of such transgression. And because human nature cannot but be shocked at the sight of that certain death, therefore Adam cannot be brought to the confession of his sin, but he tries all possible means by which he has the least hope of warding off the blame of his sin. And thus does every sinner hate the punishment of his transgressions, and because he hates that punishment, he also hates the justice of God and God himself, and endeavors, by all means in his power, to persuade both God and men that he suffers innocently. Just in this manner does Adam here endeavor to lessen his sin by saying that it was not he who listened to the serpent, nor he that plucked the fruit. "The woman whom thou gavest me," says he, "offered me the fruit of this tree." In the same state of mind as Adam are those who, when they have come to a knowledge of the sins they have committed, filled with despair, either cut short their life with a halter or curse God as the cause of their transgressions. The words of Job are familiarly known. "Let the day perish wherein I was born. Why died I not from the womb?" Job 3:3-11. For such lay all the fault of their sin on God, and complain against God that they were ever created to destruction and damnation. Nor can any sinner do otherwise, when the hope of pardon and the promise of grace are not present to his soul. Because death is intolerable to human nature, therefore it produces desperation and blasphemies. It is an utterance full of pain and of wrath against God when Adam says, "The woman whom thou gavest me." It is as if he had said, "Thou thyself hast laid upon me the burden of this evil. If thou hadst given to the woman some separate garden to herself, and hadst not burdened me with thy command that I should live with her, I might have continued without sin. As therefore I have sinned, the fault is thine in adding to me a wife." In the case of Adam, therefore, is set before us an exact example of all those who sin and who despair under their sin. They cannot do otherwise than accuse God and excuse themselves. For seeing as they do that God is omnipotent, they consider that he could have prevented these their sins. So horrible is sin, whenever the minds of sinners are not soon relieved and lifted up with the promise of the forgiveness of sins. And this is the true effect of the law. Whenever the law is alone, without the gospel and the knowledge of its grace, it always leads to despair and to final impenitence.